We did try and make that happen, but unfortunately Mandy's in and out of service, so we're unable to make that happen. So she is an apology today. Item 3, public question time. I'd like to welcome Peter and Thelma Allam to the council meeting today. And I believe you would like to ask a question.
Do you want to do it now?
Thank you. Yes, we would.
So many houses that are empty, and they're pretty obvious that they're empty. The question was, does the council own any of these houses? And do we know who the others belong to? We've got family that have got to move up here.
Sure.
And, they're just finding it impossible to move into the area. And with so many houses that are empty, imagine bringing in all those families. The other one was that on, I think, Stickland, there's two new houses I believe were purchased or built by the Shire Council. They've been empty now for maybe a year. Again, the question is why?
Sure. Yep. Well, thank you for the question. We've actually just engaged with community, with our strategic community plan, and we've been to all the various regions, Ballardieu, Cadoo, and formulating our plan for the next number of years. And certainly housing availability was one of the key items that community have been telling us. And so it certainly is a priority for our council moving forward, and we've got a number of initiatives that we're working on at the moment. I might actually pass it over to Sam, our CEO, then just to also elaborate a little bit.
Yeah, I can probably borrow Stuart's mic. Yes, sure. There's a couple of parts to that question, I suppose, so I'll tackle the first one. Yes, a few of those houses you've seen that are vacant are Shire-owned houses, and I guess we were having this discussion yesterday, there's a few pieces of the puzzle moving around when it comes to, you know, sort of having a vacant house. Most of those houses, if not all of those houses, were put there primarily for Shire staff housing. And then I guess the second purpose is for sort of community housing / key worker accommodation. We currently have about 3 or 4 vacancies on our Shire staff. So you can appreciate that we can't always attract, I suppose, local employment opportunities, and sometimes our new employees are coming from outside the Shire and also require housing. So to that end, 2 of the houses, the ones that you refer to on the corner of Stickland and Patterson, those new ones there, they'll be habited very, very soon. One will be Shire staff and one is for another key critical service, which is our local Cubby House group for childcare. Because as part of their ongoing financial sustainability struggles, having a house for their employees is absolutely critical. So one's being allocated there as well. One's just become vacant about three weeks ago, and they've just moved out with their exit process, and we're looking at the moment who we can get in there next. And we're acutely aware, I guess, of the issue. I've been in liaison with the police and the hospital, as well as the school, who are really also in demand for housing as well. And they're obviously state government employees, and the issue is there, the state government don't want to construct new houses. So then the issue is your supply of housing is the same, but more and more people obviously want a house, which is compounding the issue. So we're looking at ways there, I suppose, that we can remedy some of that. And to that end, we're currently undertaking some reviews of our vacant residential land. So the Shire actually only currently holds 2 vacant pieces of residential land that's zoned, and neither of them are properly fully serviced. One is up on the corner of Shields Crescent and Airport Road there, but needs to be cleared, etc. And another one is a larger block down near the police station. That larger block, we've actually submitted an application for grant funding to have the land fully developed and have up to 10 new dwellings built on that block of land, primarily for key worker accommodation. But I suppose, you know, we need to get the land serviced initially to even put houses in town. So the Shields Crescent Phase 2 development, which is behind current Shields Crescent but would loop around the back there, there's a minimum of 7 lots sitting there, but they're all in the Crown name, so Crown land tenure. So we're putting a business case to the Crown, and I've already spoken with them about the ability to transfer that land into the Shire's name. We've had the engineers engaged, and they've done a service review of the area and given us a cost estimate to service that land. And just to paint a bit of a picture, that's about $1.5 million because of the road that needs to be done, which equates to about $215,000 per lot. The current market, the last one that was sold, I think, was around $80,000. So there's a $120,000 loss per lot there. Without putting it too bluntly, like, money obviously doesn't grow on trees for like a small regional local government. We have about $750,000 sitting in our reserves for land and housing. So, I mean, we've got a lot to do with a very, very finite amount of budget. So a big part of, you know, our role and responsibility is to advocate to the state government for more funding, which we're currently doing, to get land transferred into our name so we can get it serviced, get it done, and then sell the lots to people as well. So we are really, really working on that in the background. Unfortunately, it obviously doesn't happen overnight because these things do take time, especially when there's state government involved. There is a lot of money and stuff involved with these projects. Some of the other houses you will note around the town that aren't ours, so we've only got those couple we sort of talked about that are vacant, are the state government employee houses, the grow houses. And these are ones which some of them now see as not up to standard or scratch to sort of house the state government employees, which is another big issue. So again, the hospital were having the same issue, and we pretty much said, well, if they're not going to be used, they need to be demolished and put something there that is new and habitable. So we're having those conversations as well, and doing our utmost to resolve the issue. But yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, and we know it's the number one priority for the area at the moment is land and housing, and we're doing our best. But yeah.
Yeah, but everything you said is long-term, isn't it? And the units that you're thinking about, talking about going on, what are these, a two-bedroom, three-bedroom, or
yeah, what are they? Have a bit of a mixed type. So we were looking at 4 2-by-1s, 4 2-by-2s, and 2 3-by-2s, and we had gone out to consultation with the community and had a lot of survey responses, as well as we were involved with a housing study through the Northeast Wheatbelt a region of councils, and all the data that came back with the responses was that was kind of the housing mix they were looking at. Obviously, that, you know, not one size fits all. So I can appreciate, you know, if you're a family moving to town and you need a 4x2 and you want some space on with a backyard, that type of situation is not really going to appeal to your circumstances. But that was really where the demand was at as well. As well as visiting services, we've got such good facilities here with the medical centre and everything, but to attract, you know, those visiting specialised services just for some sort of short stay style accommodation as well. But the Shire's, no real local government is core business is to sort of build, I guess, houses and then sell houses to the private market. Predominantly, it is get the land serviced and available and sell the land and have private investment. But to that end, we are having discussions next month with a couple of local development groups who, you know, part of their charter is to invest into community for growth and economic growth. So we're hoping that we can have a conversation around, you know, a joint project or some leveraging of investment, because our biggest issue is the capital to invest. You know, if we had a lot more money, then yeah, we could go out and do some of these things. We could then lease potentially houses to the state government on long-term like leases. That would only be resolving state government employee issues, but that's critical to our whole local economy as well. So yeah, I hope that in a roundabout way answers your question.
Really,
but
I don't suppose it really satisfies what we're doing. But are you saying then the Shire doesn't own any land that could be developed? And if you have, why don't you just put it out to a company to, you know, there's no investment as far as you're concerned, or the Shire's concerned.
Yeah.
But you get money for selling the land.
Correct. We've only currently got the two blocks that are residentially zoned and vacant. So one's approximately 1,000 square metres, the one on the corner of Airport Road and Shields Crescent, if you walk up to the airstrip via Wandoo.
Just 1,000 square metres.
That one, that block is, and the other larger block I was referring to, where we're looking at the multi-dwelling setup, is about just over 3,000 square metres in town as well. But that's our big issue. Like, there is another sort of 11 residential vacant lots around town, but they're not our property. There's a lot of Crown land around, which is surveyed, subdivided, but it's not serviced. So the servicing costs are obviously quite extreme. So is your situation, you're trying to move to town and buy vacant land to build,
we've got a granddaughter, great-granddaughter down in Rockingham, and they want to move away from that area.
Yeah.
We're quite settled here. We've got a place up in Banksia Crescent, and we're just probably doing that up at the moment. But, trying to get them up to this area, it's just, and then when you walk around and you see so many vacant houses, you just think, what is going on?
Peter, a lot of those houses that you're seeing vacant are department communities, which was the old Combs West model, which are now condemned. So that's up to Combs West to remove them, which they already have done in Cam Street, but they will not put anybody in them. So there would be about four maybe places empty at the moment that belong to them and will never have to go in.
Disgusting, really.
I just don't think they can do the maintenance on them.
Well, get to find somebody who can do it.
They just don't do it.
I know it's difficult to get tradesmen doing up a property in town. It's very, very difficult.
And I think that's the ones that you see empty. Yeah. And some that do look empty aren't empty. Trust me, I know there's one person empty.
Yeah, appreciate that. I think we've worked out the ones that look empty but are not empty.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to say about Homes West, everywhere is crying out for a property, rentals especially. And it just seems disgusting that there's property out there.
Yeah.
And there's always a reason or excuse not to do anything. And it's very, very common. It's easier just to, don't do anything.
I suppose with a lot of the Shire-owned ones, as I said, we obviously provide a lot of services throughout a large district, a large area. So in order to provide those services, like, we obviously need the staff, the personnel on the ground, and to have those staff on the ground, they do need housing a lot of the time. So we're very, very cognizant of that. If we just offered up every single spare Shire house and we've got four jobs open that we're trying to recruit for, and all of a sudden we've also got four people trying to move to town to provide services and facilities to the community, we're in big, big trouble. And that has an even worse domino effect than the current impact that we're seeing. So I think our role really is to liaise with private investment and community investment to try and get these more blocks released, and then hopefully private investors will build their own houses. And there's good information out there where you can get your long-term leases with the state government, and it's very incentivized, for example. But unfortunately for us, we don't have, like I said, we've got $750,000 in that reserve. At best, you might get, say, two by twos, three by twos at a stretch out of that. But we need, the study we had said we need 40 houses. I mean, it doesn't even scratch the surface.
Why can't you just sell the land to a developer?
Well, we could if there was interest out there, but there's one block of land which is you're going to fit at maximum two units on, so there's not a whole heap there. And that one's already semi-serviced because the water's already sort of running past that one. So really that one's an easier low-hanging fruit. We are also looking at one across the road that is a vacant block, but it's zoned commercially, and our recommendation will be that we rezone it to residential and do one of a couple of things. One might be just selling it off for private investment, again, with the services already running through there, if council can't afford or it's not in their best interest to put the houses on them there themselves. But, we do appreciate it's a big challenge.
And Peter and Thelma, we appreciate the question, and it is very much forefront of our our shire's thinking at the moment, and with our strategic community plan, it's the highest priority. So thank you for your question.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Mr. President, just...
Yes, Councillor Sewell.
I just... need to bring people in. When you look down the main street and see so many empty shops, it doesn't look good. And we've been all over Australia. You know, Wongan is... it's happening everywhere. But obviously we live here, so when we walk down the street and see so many empty shops, you've got to bring people in.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're aware of that too, Peter, and that was part of the strategic community plan identified. How do we revitalise our streetscape and get more businesses? So, Councillor Sewell, you had a comment?
My question was more, would we have a resource within the town that actually lets people know that if there are available houses for rent? You know, where would someone coming to town go and seek that sort of information? Does the, you know, does the shire hold any any information, or is it purely, you know, you go and speak to a realtor and and find out what's commercially available?
That's the only way you go into a real estate.
We do have an internal wait list, and the residential land wait list, when I checked last week, I think we had about 10 on there, but 6 were very recent, as in within the last 6 months that we've received. But that, to me, was, and I believe you guys may have been added to the end of that list, but in discussions today, I'm not sure you're after a vacant block to build for your grant.
No.
So you might not.
That's now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or certainly the next month or so.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the way it came up. We've got family that want to come up there, but they're a young couple. They can't afford a lot, and I'm sure you can't get into the market with purchasing.
Yeah.
So the only way is to find some sort of rental.
Yeah. Have you guys considered other town sites in the Shire? I.e. Kudu, Bellevue?
Obviously, this is the ideal place, but when we Googled and looked around in the area, there's nothing. And if somebody else knows of any, even within, because we've got a granddaughter up there in Del Wallonier, so that is it's a fairly big area that we would look at. But,
A lot of the houses aren't even hitting the market because they're being sold privately before they even go to, advertising. That's because the demand is so huge, so it's almost two years now.
That's been the same for the last two years that we know, because we moved into the area over 2 years ago, and for 6 months we were looking for to purchase. And we nearly gave up in the end, but one property came up right before we were about to set off somewhere else. And so we know the situation is right. And people were buying basically from Eastern States mainly, buying in this area. You know, they just phone up, what have you got? We'll have that. And that's what was happening then. Obviously, it's still happening now. But people got the money out there.
Yeah, we're really hoping that these conversations we have with some of these development groups, are quite fruitful in terms of trying to get some houses on the ground in the very short term. Yeah. You know, there are one or two little bits of low-hanging fruit that we could probably unlock to get some houses, notwithstanding the fact that from start to finish to get a house on a block, you know, can still take the best part anyway of 9 to 12 months as well. So it's not going to be immediate, but yeah, we're doing everything within our powers, and we've lobby with the state government. We've got a bit more work to do in that space as well there, though, because they have a bit to answer for, especially with the state government employees' housing. You know, it's not a local government's responsibility to provide houses for state government employees, in particular when we're trying to provide for our staff and community. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Appreciate listening to us.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming.
Appreciate that you're interested in it. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, good afternoon.
Yeah.
So we'll might continue on with our meeting. So item 4, announcement from the presiding member, Neil. Item 5, deputations, presentations, submissions, petitions, Neil. Item 6, applications for leave of absence, Neil. Item 7, confirmation of minutes. Confirmation, item 7.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held Wednesday the 25th of March 2026. The officer recommendation is that the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday 25th of March be confirmed as a true and correct record of the proceedings. Could I have someone move that, please? Councillor Stasovic, seconder. Councillor Kalasic, is there any dissent at all on that? That's carried. Thank you. So item 8, notice of matters for which the meeting may be closed, nil. Item 9, policy electronic attendance at meetings by elected members. Yep, we can do. We might just wait for the CEO to return. Yeah. Okay. We might. So we're up to 9.1 governance, 9.1.1 policy electronic attendance at meetings by elected members. And the officer recommendation is that council, one, adopts the new council policy, electronic attendance at meetings by elected members, as included in attachment one to this report. Could I have someone move this item, please? Councillor Sewell and a seconder. Councillor Richards. Councillor Sewell, do you have any comment or anything to discuss? You have some dissent?
I have dissent.
Yes, sorry, just to dissent. Just basically on, I disagree with part of the policy, and that's with regard to seeking permission from the president. Just so based on the regulations which I have read, 14C2B said a member can attend a meeting if authorised by the president or the council. And I think probably just we need to explore the or the council part of that. I just believe probably our policy should read, as I've flagged earlier, a receipt of the link to the meeting electronically shall be deemed as permission granted. And I think that will probably solve a lot of the problems. We'll still have to adhere to the 50% rule, the confidentiality rules, and the connectivity rules. So I don't see how that really affects it. Probably in our policy, it should read that councillors shall notify the CEO or the president as soon as it's known they will be attending remotely, and a councillor should, where possible, attend in person, which is, again, what I think we all do anyway. So that was pretty much my dissent to the to the motion.
Sure. Councillor Richards, do you have anything to add or any comment?
I thought that it was quite straightforward, but now that Matt has said that, then I kind of second guessing myself. But yes, that's all.
Sam, do you have any comment on
Look, thanks through the chair. Not overly. I would take it as read, and we did discuss it at the last two council forums and then the agenda briefing yesterday. It's pretty clear in the regulations, and you know, some might argue that it is open to interpretation when it says otherwise authorised by the council, but best practice in the sector in reviewing at least 10 of these is, you know, that it really has to come through the mayor, or in this case the president, and when it asks for authorisation by the council, that is by I suppose a council resolution at a meeting that is, you know, held before the next meeting that they're requesting the electronic attendance. I think doing it, pre-approving it and doing it just by way of calendar invitations is a little bit unprofessional, and it's not what any of the other councils do out there in this space. So that would be my recommendation as to what, how it's tabled. But yeah, leave that up to council to vote on.
Sure. Do we have any other comments or questions?
No, I just agree with Matt. I dissent to this for all the points that he brought up. Looking through it during the week, I've tried to make the best of it out I can, but it's... no, I just agree with Matt and what he's already said.
Mm-hmm. So, that being the case, the officer recommendation is that council adopts the new council policy and electronic attendance at meetings by elected members as included in attachment one to this report. We have a mover, Councillor Sewell, and a seconder, Councillor Richards. Can I have a vote for those in favour of the officer recommendation, please? To show a show of hands, please. Okay, so that's 2-5. That has been defeated. Do we?
Yeah, you're probably going to need to state a reason why. Yeah. So I guess if you want to summarise Councillor Sewell's comments in the minutes.
So Councillor Sewell, maybe if you could just summarise that, and Tan, if you could record the reason why that motion has been defeated.
You would like all those points again, would you?
If you speak into the microphone, we'll figure it out.
Oh, I've already spoken into the microphone. Can you just take it off?
Yeah, if you can summarise just the reason as to why, it doesn't need to be...
Okay, so my summary, I guess, would be that the requirement for the president to authorise electronic attendance is over and above what we were require. We can achieve that through a council policy.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on then to item 9.1.2, DPLH request for transfer of part of reserve 19044 and reserve 22782. The officer recommendation is that Council 1 endorses the following position in response to the Department of Planning Lands Heritage Inquiry in relation to reserve 19044 and reserve 22782. So item A, we do not support. The officer recommendation is A, do not support the transfer of any land which forms part of reserve 19044, and B, supports the transfer of reserve 22782, subject to being notified of future intended use of this parcel of land. And item 2, instructs the CEO to respond to DPLH with reference to the above positions.
You would not do?
Yes, yep. Just through the chair, I'd just like to propose an amended officer recommendation to this item, and that is that the item is deferred. I have reached out to DPLH and spoke with them over the phone with regard to, I guess, the justification for the request for that land in Condit there, and they said as part of this initial consultative process, the proponent's not required to, I guess, supply that information, and they weren't aware of what it was. So I also then did call the CEO at the UED Aboriginal Corporation, and unfortunately he was unavailable. I've left a voice message, so I don't have that information with regard to their future use. I was generically told by DPLH that generally with these things, there's a couple of factors. A, normally they're looking at reserves that aren't under management by a local government. This is just one of those less common situations. But B, the reserve likely would change use or purpose to sort of a generic Noongar social, cultural, economic development sort of reserve, for example. But that was quite a generic thing. So I think it's best that the item is deferred, and that would be my updated recommendation. There's no deadline that we need to get back to them. So yeah, that is my new recommendation. So
are we all in agreement that we defer that particular item?
Yes. Do you need to move?
Do we move Councillor Sewell, a seconder? Councillor Hood, thank you.
And we just also need, I guess, a timeline as to when it will come back. So I think if we stated, say, by the June council meeting, for example, that should give us enough time. So are you happy to look at that? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, we move to item 9.2, Administration and Financial Services, 9.2.1.
Sorry, did we call a vote on that?
That was unanimous. Yep, 7-0. List of payments for March 2026. And the officer recommendation is that Council, in accordance with Regulation 13 and 13A of the Local Government Financial Management Regulations, receive the list of payments for the month ending 31st of March 2026, totalling $1,840,989.38, referred to the attachment 9.2.1.1. This includes payments made under delegated authority and payments made using purchasing cards by authorised employees. Can I have someone move that particular recommendation, please? Councillor Sewell, could I have a seconder? Councillor Klasik, thank you. So yesterday at the briefing, we did actually have an opportunity to go through page by page. Do we have any specific item today that we would like to ask any questions on? Councillor Hood?
I'm just glad to see after the November payment list, and then there's two items in this list of hire of side tippers for obviously construction of roads, totaling nearly 60-70 grand since November. I'm glad to see that there's actually a payment for a side tipper in there. So it was so well done.
Yeah, well done. Is there any dissent at all on this item? Otherwise, we will carry that. Carried unanimous. Thank you. So item 9.2.2, monthly financial report, 31 March 2026. And the officer recommendation is that Council 1 receives the monthly financial report containing the statement of financial activity by nature and nature classification and statement of financial position for the month ending 31st of March 2026 as presented as attachment 9.2.2.1 to this report. And 2, notes the unrestricted municipal surplus of $3,004,170 for the month ending 31st of March 2026. Could I have someone move this item, this officer recommendation? Councillor Hood, seconder. Councillor Sewell, is there any dissent at all with this item? Otherwise, that is carried. Thank you. So we then move to the next item, which is 9.2.3, debt write-off assessment, 697, location 169 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills. And the officer recommendation is that council, in accordance with section 612C of the Local Government Act 1995, approve to write off the outstanding debt to 30th of June 2025, plus any additional interest accrued on rates assessment 697, location 169 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills. Do we have someone move this officer recommendation, please? Councillor Hood and a seconder. Councillor Richards. Councillor Hood, do you have any comment at all?
No, from what I can read, it's just a case of misinformation. So, yeah, unfortunately, we're happy to write that off, I think.
Yep.
I'm happy to.
Councillor Richards, nothing. Do we have any other comments from the floor? Is there any dissent at all, or are you happy to pass that particular recommendation? I'm not sure we're happy, but we'll pass it. Thank you. We'll move to item 9.3, Works and Services, 9.3.1, Council Policy Review, Road Naming. And the committee recommendation is that Council 1 amend Council Policy 1016, Road Naming, as included in the attachment 1 to this report. Do I have a mover of this officer recommendation? Councillor Kolasic, a seconder. Councillor Sewell, is there any dissent at all with this item? Otherwise, that's carried 7-0. Thank you. 6-0. So our next item is item 9.4, Health, Building and Planning, 9.4.1, Application for Development Approval P567, Proposed Construction and Installation of an Outbuilding at 10 Shields Crescent, Wongan Hills. And the officer recommendation is quite extensive, and it is that Council approve the development application for the proposed outbuilding and associated works at 10 Shields Crescent, Wongan Hills, subject to the following condition and advice notes. Hoping everyone's read through, there's 7 conditions and there's actually 9 advice notes there. So trust that you've all read those conditions and advice notes. Do I have someone move that officer recommendation, please? Councillor Stasevich and a seconder. Councillor Richards, thank you. Is there any dissent at all on this particular item? No. Carried 6-0. Thank you. Item 9.4.2, Application for Development Approval P569, Proposed Construction and Installation of an Outbuilding at 89 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills. Quite detailed notes, and then we have an officer recommendation that Council approve the development application for the proposed outbuilding at 89 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills, subject to the following conditions and advice notes. We have 11.
There's actually six.
I was just looking, that's not 11. 6 conditions, and we have 9 advice notes, Tam. Yep. So could I have someone move this particular item? Thank you, Councillor Kolasic, and a seconder, Councillor Sewell. Is there any dissent at all on this item? Are we all happy? That's carried 6-0. Thank you. So we move to item 9.4.3, Application for Development Approval, P568, Proposed Construction and Installation of an Ancillary Dwelling at 89 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills. And we have an officer recommendation that Council approve the development application for the proposed ancillary dwelling at 89 Manmanning Road, Wongan Hills, subject to the following conditions and advice notes. So we have 9 conditions and we have 9 advice notes. Trusting that everyone's looked through those, could I have someone move the officer recommendation, please? Councillor Sewell, a seconder. Councillor Stasevich, Is there any dissent at all on this item? Everyone's happy. Thank you. That's carried 6-0. Item 9.5, community services, 0. Item 10, new business of an urgent nature introduced by decision of the meeting, 0. Item 11, matters for the which the meeting may be closed, 0. And item 12, closure. I close the meeting at 3:44. Thank you, everyone.